To be here with you folks again. Has it only been a year since I was here? Only a year? It just seemed like it's been longer, but I don't know. But then part of, you know, when I think about it, in some ways it seems like it was only last week, too. So I don't know. It's hard to keep track of things nowadays. I'd like my wife to stand up and so I can introduce her to you real quick. This is my wife, Diane. She is an incredibly big part of my ministry, and I can't imagine having served the last 22 years with New Tribes Mission without her alongside of me. She is an incredible lady. I hope you get to know her a little bit. Well, you can see that's our gang up there. That's the, as we refer to them, the Gleaves gang. We work with a mission called New Tribes Mission, but we have our own small little tribe. And I'll tell you a little bit briefly about each of our four children. Our oldest, Luke, at the top, he's a senior at Truman State University. He's graduating here in a couple of weeks. He'll be commissioned as a second lieutenant, and he's then going to go to Denver Seminary, where he's going to go through their military chaplain program, and he hopes to serve as a military chaplain in the U.S. Army. So we're excited for him. And I'm proud of him as well. He is married, got married last July. So he and his wife are both graduating in May, and they will be moving to Denver, to go to Denver Seminary. Our second son, Luke, is 22. Our second son, Tyler, is 20. And he is a student up at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And Tyler has a heart for missions and thinks that's what God wants him to be involved in. So but he's open to whatever, however God wants to use him. But he is a sophomore at Moody Bible Institute. Amy, my little princess, she's 16. She'll be 17 this summer. She's a junior and attends Francis Howell North High School and just has brought us a tremendous amount of joy. And she's involved in all kinds of stuff. I'm not even going to go into everything she's involved in. But she loves to write and she loves photography. So and then our baby, Shane, he's 13, and he was the one that you heard when I shared my testimony here before about Diane being pregnant when we were in Columbia, South America. And because of that pregnancy, I ended up not being taken hostage by a rebel group of insurgents. And so Shane and I have a special, unique bond. And in his own words, he came up to me one time. He says, "Dad," he said, "it's weird, huh?" He says, "it's kind of like I'm here because of you and you're here because of me." I said, "well, son, that's about it. You about got it right." So our kids have brought us a tremendous amount of joy. We're really thankful for them. And our two youngest had things going on tonight, so they're not with us this time. I believe that our two youngest were with us last time we came here. At least I know Shane was. I'm sorry we could not bring them with us tonight. We have been serving with the organization called New Tribes Mission now for 22 years. Most of that time, well, half that time was spent in the country of Colombia, South America. Since then, we've been ministering here in the United States due to the problems in Colombia with the difficulties for North Americans to be able to work there in the rural areas. Our ministry specifically is to promote missions. And my goal is to go out into churches and colleges, youth camps in the summer, Christian schools, anywhere I can get a listening ear, get a group of Christians together. I even speak in small groups, all kinds of places. But to just share about the needs on the mission field today with the hope of mobilizing Christians to get them involved in this important task of reaching a lost world for Christ. New Tribes Mission was founded with the purpose of church planning amongst unreached people groups, specifically targeting groups of people in parts of the world where no one has ever gone before. In other words, taking the gospel to people for the very first time, making the gospel available to them. And then not just stopping there, but actually doing Bible translation and discipleship, leadership training, with the goal of establishing indigenous churches that can function on their very own. Missionaries can step back and leave, and they can function and grow and thrive with God's Word available to them, and then begin reaching out on their own to the community around them. That is the goal. New Tribes Mission was started to be an instrument or a tool through which local churches like Liberty Christian Church could send out their people who had a passion to do that kind of ministry. And so we view ourselves as just an extension of the local church. And all of our missionaries actually are our answer to their home church, wherever that might be. We have approximately, at this point, a little over 3,200 missionaries in New Tribes, serving from 37 different countries in the world, 37 different nationalities. We're very much an international mission. We work in about 33 countries right now, at this current time, in about 33 different countries. We don't have church planting ministries going on in all 33 of those countries. Some of those countries are countries, sending countries like the United States, where we are involved in training and equipping Christians to become missionaries and go out and do church planting work. And we have training facilities, training centers in 11 countries around the world. In fact, in Colombia, the country where we were, that's where one of our national training programs are, where we have a Bible school, a missions institute, and a language and linguistics school, training and equipping Colombian nationals to reach tribal people, not only in the country of Colombia, but any other country that they might choose to go and serve. And it's really exciting for us that we started that ministry that New Tribe started that ministry, because were it not for our national missionaries in the country of Colombia, we wouldn't have any church planting efforts going on there today, because of the insurgency, the problem with insecurity there in the rural parts of Colombia with these rebel soldiers, rebel groups, which you heard me talk about last time. It's impossible for us to be able to minister there, or for North Americans to be able to minister there without being targeted for kidnapping. But our Colombian brothers and sisters are able to go into those areas and work, unlike us. And so the work of New Tribes has continued on there due to the ministry of our national brothers and sisters. So that's really exciting. Right now, we're working with over 240 different people groups. These are all each individual different language group, over 240 tribal groups. We've established or planted over 900 churches, indigenous churches, around the world. Over 42, last I checked, there were over 42 New Testament Bible translations, complete translations of the New Testament done in those languages, where we were able to give the people God's Word in their own language so that they could read and study God's Word in their very own language instead of the trade language of the country that they're located in. That's some of what New Tribes has been working on and accomplishing over the years. My wife and I know it has been thrilling for us to be a part of it. We've had, when we joined New Tribes, 22 years ago, we had no idea all the little twists and turns that our ministry would take. In fact, I told my wife when we first became missionaries that I could see myself really doing a lot of different things within the organization of New Tribes Mission, but the only ministry that I really just could never see myself doing was working as a representative. But when we make ourselves 100% available to the Lord Jesus, we don't know where He's going to take us, do we? And the neat thing about it is, this ministry, which I thought I would never, ever do or never wanted to do, God has just given me a real peace about and a real joy in being a part of, and it's just been a real thrill. So it's really neat to see how God leads in our lives. What I want to do to really help you understand what the work of New Tribes Mission is and what our organization is all about is tell you a story tonight through video. And I have a video production that was done that it's just an unbelievable story of God's faithfulness, how he made the gospel available to a people group in the country of Papua New Guinea who had never, ever had the opportunity to hear the gospel story before. And to see their response to it is an incredible thing. The story, the video, will really, better than I could ever explain to you, show you what's involved for a missionary couple or missionary singles to go into a tribal setting, work with a people group, and actually go about the business of giving them God's Word and making the gospel story available to them. So what I would like to do at this time is just go ahead and show this video. It's going to take about 26 minutes, and then I'll share some more with you after we're done. And we thought we had the corner on the market of crowd surfing. Many of those scenes were reenacted. The Mok people, as the video mentioned, wanted their story to be told because there's a tremendous need within the country of Papua New Guinea. Would you believe that there are over 900 different people groups within that one country, Papua New Guinea? And missionary work has only been done in about half of those people groups. There's a tremendous amount of work to be done just within that one country alone. It's estimated that there are over 3,000 ethnic groups, people groups around the world, different language groups that still have had no opportunity to hear the gospel story in their own language. Leaves a lot of work to be done, a tremendous amount of work to be done. I always like to give people a chance that have just seen this video to ask questions, because I understand for many of you, this kind of a ministry is something totally new that you've never really thought of before. Maybe it has shed some new light on missionary work, and maybe there's some questions that have come up in your mind. So before I continue, are there any questions, anything in particular that you want to ask me that I could answer up here right now before I go on? Wow, okay.
How does a person get started? Where do they go? And would they have to have a particular place in mind on their part? Or would they say, I'm available? Where should you send them?
Okay, that's a good question. I am going to kind of talk about that a little bit, but we can talk about that right now. New Tribes Mission requires two... anybody that goes as a career missionary with our organization is required to have 2 years of Bible background or Bible training. An exception to that would be like someone like my father. My father was older, like Mark, when he decided to be a missionary. He had been involved in ministry within the church for many years before he ended up going as a missionary himself with New Tribes. So he was not required to go to Bible college for 2 years. He was allowed to go directly into the missionary training program. So everybody needs 2 years of Bible. So let's say you are a high school student right out of high school. Well, probably you'd need to get 2 years of Bible training at least. And then New Tribes, for all of their people, require 2 years of specialized training, 2 years of specialized training to do cross-cultural church planting. You study such things as linguistics and language acquisition, how to go into a place and, you know, without any grammar books, no teachers, nobody there to help you, how to go in there and begin the process of learning a people's language. Not only learning to speak it, but actually analyzing it, figuring out how can we write this language? How can we put this language into writing so these people can read and write their own language for the first time? And there's a whole process, a whole scientific process to do that called linguistics and phonemics, where you actually go in, you analyze the sounds, the phonetic sounds that people make with their mouths, and then there's an actual linguistic process to actually come up with an alphabet, just like we have in English. Our missionaries come up with alphabets for each of the people groups that they work with. But these are some of the different things taught during the missionary training and language and linguistic training, which takes place during that two-year time. So including the Bible training and missionary training, it equals about 4 years. Now, for someone who already has the Bible training, it's 2 years. That's for somebody going as a career missionary. But we also have an associate program for people who want to go in a support ministry, which I'll talk about here in a little bit. But those are non-church planting ministry. They're support ministries helping to make it possible for our missionaries to be out there in the tribe doing church planting work. And I'll explain a little bit more of what a support ministry is in just a little bit. So basically, if you were right out of high school wanting to go as a career missionary with New Tribes, you'd be looking at a minimum of 4 years of training. And then, probably another year of partnership development, raising support and whatnot, just depending on how long it takes. And then, you'd go overseas. As far as where to go, that is up to each individual person. And that individual fellowshipping with their home church, with their sending church. New Tribes, obviously you'd want to go to a country where there is a support network, and so you could work with that with the help of New Tribes Mission. So you'd probably be going to one of the countries that we work in, but each of our missionaries determines what country that is and what kind of ministry they want to be involved in. Did that answer your questions? Okay, there was a question over here.
What about the short-term opportunities for people who are in short-term?
Okay, I talked a little bit about that when I mentioned our associate program. That is for ministries, all kinds of different ministries. Those can be anything from being a teacher in one of our schools for missionary children, being a boarding home parent. I think you have to be a career missionary to do that. They don't have associates be boarding home parents. They want people that have been fully trained with New Tribes. That's what my wife and I did, by the way. We were boarding home parents and worked at the school for missionary children. And people always say, well, that raises the question, I know, in a lot of people's minds, oh, yeah, education. How do we provide school for our children? A lot of our families homeschool their children when it is feasible and possible, especially when they're younger. The thing you have to understand, in a tribal setting like this, a lot of times it's not the greatest place to be raising children. There's a lot of things that go on in the tribe, which I won't go into, in a tribal setting like that, that we want to protect our children from. There's just a lot of ugly stuff that goes on there. And so many of our families will educate their children until they're old enough to be comfortable going to the missionary school. And unlike a lot of missionary schools, the schools that we provide are run 100% by our own people. So they're friends, like if we were sending our children to school, they'd be cared for by people we knew really well. They're friends of ours, co-workers, and it's sort of like a big family. But you have access to your children by radio, you talk to them regularly, and we have the school year set up, so there's a lot of opportunities for visits and things like that. But a lot of our families choose to send their kids to the mission school just because it's very difficult to minister in a tribal setting like that with that going on. So there's a lot of different support ministries: accountants, computer programmers, mechanics, builders, people that do construction work, administration, teaching, buyers, people to buy and ship things. We have pilots and mechanics. Now, our pilots and mechanics, especially our pilots, they have specialized training that they go through, provided by New Tribes Mission as well. And they are career missionaries. An associate missionary would not do that kind of ministry. Those are all what we call support ministries. And those are the kind of ministries that missionaries that go for through our associate program, which is what we consider kind of short term. That's for a period of from 6 months up to 4 years. We also have a program of like we call summer missions or really short term missions. That's geared more towards maybe a family who's just wants to go, you know, have their family experience missions, or especially we have a lot of high school and college students who are interested in missions, want to be involved, but you know they only have a few weeks in the summer. We have a program set up to do short-term trips. Two different programs. One is called Summit or Assist, and that is where we put together a team of high school and college students or adults, anyone that wants to go, and we go to different countries where we work, and we actually help with a physical work project, like maybe going to build an airstrip or going to build a home for a missionary family, working out in a tribal setting, or it could be any number of things, but it's usually physical work. Obviously, it's hard to go and minister because, you know, as a short-term person going to a foreign country, you don't speak the language. So you're going to be limited what you can do as far as ministry goes, as far as like evangelistic type ministry. But there's a lot that can be done to assist our church planters. And so there's short-term opportunities for people to do that. There's also a program we have called Interface, which is really geared towards high school seniors and college students, where they go to the country of Papua New Guinea, and we actually have a campus set up there, staffed by full-blown career missionaries with New Tribes Mission who have lots of experience, and they teach like a college-level kind of class on missions. It's kind of like a condensed little missionary training program, and they get to experience, you know, that teaching, and then during their afternoons and evenings, the campus is surrounded by a tribal group that New Tribes actually planted an indigenous church in. There's a functioning indigenous church amongst this tribal group, and they know what the purpose of the school is, so they avail themselves, these tribal people make themselves available, and they are there so that the students can actually practice some of these linguistic techniques and missionary, you know, things that they're learning there in the campus. And the whole reason for this is to just give young people an opportunity to experience missions, to experience tribal missions. What's involved? Is this something that I could do? And to give them a taste of that. And that program lasts about six weeks during the summer. So those are the short-term programs that we have. But you know, within missions, it's kind of like the U.S. military within our organization, within New Tribes Mission. In order to have that frontline missionary out there, just like in order for the U.S. Army to have their frontline soldier out there on the battlefield, it requires a huge team and a network with a lot of logistical support. And I've talked a little bit about this, but you know, we need pilots and mechanics and teachers for MKs and cooks and construction people, maintenance people, buyers, shippers, guest housing facility people to run guest houses in town so that missionaries can come in when they need medical care and whatnot and have a place to stay. We need accountants, people to do government representatives, to do paperwork and legal work for our missionaries, computer programmers, computer specialists, computer technicians, people to work in administration, do administrative things, and then people also to be involved in training nationals, to teach in our schools and to train nationals to also work alongside of us as missionaries. And then even within here in the United States, we need people to be involved in training in our training facilities. We need people to work at our headquarters in Florida. We have a whole tax department down there. All they do, we have about six people this time of year, all they do is actually process, help us missionaries process our tax stuff. It is unbelievably complicated. I think this year I filled out 16 forms for my taxes, because not only my clergy, but we're self-employed and have a unique tax status with the government. They wrote up a special form just for New Tribes missionaries. The IRS did. It's kind of funny, but it actually exists. So we have people that's their whole ministry, is to help us with with tax questions and retirement planning and things like that. So there's people like me, representatives, that they're out, being the face of New Tribes and challenging people and trying to raise awareness and interest in missions, and to raise up, future missionaries. So it's a big job. There's many, many different skills and abilities needed to accomplish the goal. And I know a lot of people think, man, I can't see myself living amongst a group of tribal people and learning language and teaching and doing that. I just couldn't do that. But they might feel right at home, working in a city in that country, sitting behind a desk, doing the paperwork, that person out there in the tribe would be like, no way, I could never do that. But it's all teamwork to accomplish the task. It really boils down to, do we really want to make ourselves available to God to do with as He pleases? One of the things that really impressed me about reading about the lives of the disciples, even reading about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, they were all about the Father's business. Just completely whatever was on His heart, that's what they wanted to do. And in so doing, they accomplished all these awesome, incredible things, because God was able to use them the way He wanted to do. It wasn't about their own programs or what they thought was spiritual. It was about what God wanted. And God was able to use them in incredible things. And one thing's for sure, we know that the Lord Jesus was passionate about reaching a lost world to Himself. I mean, His very last message to the disciples before He ascended into heaven was challenging them to go out and share the gospel with everyone around the world, every nation, every people group, every tongue. And to not only teach them, but to disciple them and train them up in the way that God would have them to live. This was the last message that Christ shared with His disciples. So it had to be of utmost importance to Him. One passage that has always been a challenge to me is John 12, verse 24. You don't even need to turn there. I'll just read it to you real quick. This has been a tremendous, tremendous challenge to me. John 12, 24. Jesus is talking here. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who, and then going on in verse 25, it says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And that verse is so challenging to me, because so often I get so wrapped up in my own agenda. I'm a list guy. Any of you people list people out there? Huh? You can identify with me then. I get up in the morning, I go down to my office when I'm not traveling, and the first thing I do is write my goals out for the day, my little list of things that I want to do, that I want to accomplish. And I'll tell you, if the phone rings or my kids come into the office and all of a sudden there's a deviation from my little agenda, it just wrecks my whole day. I get all bent out of shape. You can ask my wife. I don't know how many times she's had to straighten me out and get my priorities straight again. But I, at the end of the day, it boils down to my little list. Did I check off each of those items on there? And if I didn't, I feel like my day was a failure. But see, that's all about me. And what the Lord Jesus wants is for us to be focused on Him, on His being, on His person. Because see, when we are 100% focused on Him, then we don't matter. And He can avail Himself of us to use as He sees fit. And like this verse says, we become like that seed that dies and falls to the ground. But then what happens? That seed grows up. And the incredible thing is that barren ground all of a sudden is transformed, not only by the plant from that seed, but then that plant reproduces and seeds fall to the ground. And the whole landscape is changed because of one available heart. And that verse has just always been such an incredible challenge to me. Have I died to myself? Am I focused on the person of Jesus Christ and what He wants to do with me? Because if I am, then He's going to do great things through me. And you know, God has all of us in many different places. He has a work to do. Not only in Colombia, not only in Papua New Guinea, but right here in St. Peter's. God is looking to use us, and He can do that when we keep our eyes focused on Him and we put ourselves aside and we are 100% available to Him to be used. In closing, I have a letter that I want to read to you that I think you may find as challenging as I did. This letter was written from a village just a short distance from where this movie was filmed. In fact, our missionaries, one of our missionary families that was working in that village, actually received this letter. A couple men hiked a long ways to bring this message to our missionaries. And this is what the message says. It started out, "From Amto Village. Hello. I want to have a little talk with you again. I am very sorry that you have forgotten all about us. We sleep with our big concern. The reason for this concern is that we are without hearing God's talk. So please send us a missionary fast. Don't waste time. We want to get our missionary now. That is the reason we don't know God's word. We are concerned for ourselves that we don't want to be last. We are last. And the reason is we don't know the root teaching of this God talk, nor do we know the other talk about this Jesus. We are ignorant, but we want to know. And I leave that with you today, tonight, in hopes that perhaps it may leave a little seed in you, a spark or something that will grow with interest. And perhaps from within this very room, someone will come that will want to actually even go to this very people group to make the gospel available to them, just as it was available to the Moak people. I really thank you for allowing me to be with you tonight. I am going to leave and head down so I can be out there. I have some literature and things that, you know, if any of you are interested. We also have some prayer cards if you would like to pray for us. They're a little dated, but they're a good reminder to pray for our ministry. And I'll be down there if you would like to stop and talk to me and my wife and get some literature. We would love to give that to you and to meet you. So, Pastor, would you like to close, please?
I want to give the Gleaves family a hand for all their work. Hey, James, before you leave, I had a question I didn't get to ask. How can I get my church to worship like those guys did? Doing the surf.
You should see the second video.
Oh. Good, we appreciate what they're doing. Why don't we stand together? We're gonna close in prayer. And Mike, why don't you come on up and as we pray, you can lead us in a worship song as we close. I don't know about you, but my heart was moved. You know, as much as we try not to do it, I think that we classify people. And we think that people that are beautiful or rich or American or famous are somehow more important to God than people that are tucked away in a tribe, in a village thousands of miles away, and if they died tomorrow, no one would know, and no one virtually would care. But God created those people just like He created you and I.
Amen.
And then, because of time, I won't get into a sermon, but in Acts 17, Paul, you know the story, because you have God talk. Right? You have God talk?
Yes.
God talk? Do you read God talk?
Yes.
You're reading your God talk at home? Yes? Paul saw the devotion, really superstition, of the Greeks, and they had their altar to the unknown God, and he said, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all. And he says, and he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And I was thinking about the passage in Revelation where we see the consummation of time and really the consummation of Christ's work. That's what we're seeing in Revelation, what he accomplished. And we see the redeemed before the throne. And of all the glorious things that are described about the throne of God and about the Lamb and about the elders and the angels, the Apostle John makes a point of saying that those who stood before the throne were from every tribe and every tongue, and every people, and every nation. Right? It's the universal scope of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And as Paul said, how will they hear without a preacher? Well, they won't. So, maybe God spoke to you tonight. Maybe God wants you to support this ministry. Maybe there's another mission ministry. Jim and Sue are working with the Voice of the Martyrs. He may be moving you to work with them. Certainly, I think God's calling all of us to pray for the advance of His gospel around the world. Amen?
Amen?
And when you go to your little tribe on Monday morning, right? Right? You have a tribe. They don't have God talk either. More and more in this nation, people are growing up, and they couldn't tell you, as we saw last week on the video about Easter. They could not tell you. They don't know. I don't know why people celebrate Easter. In America, people have grown up. No God talk. No church. Nothing. And in that sense, they're just as pagan as the people we saw tonight. So we all are called to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. Lord, how privileged we are that we live in a nation where we have free access to your Bible, where we hear the gospel on the radio, on television. Lord, we are so blessed. I pray that we would not take your word for granted. Father, I pray that you'd impress each one of us on what we are called to do to advance your gospel on the earth. Whether it's locally, whether it's internationally, whether it's a summer trip, whether it's a lifelong commitment to missions, Lord, we ask that you would use us, use this church to advance your kingdom on the earth. We pray these things not for our sake, but for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.